You can make the announcement, Mataji.
Okay. Today's class is given by His Grace Radhikadadar Prabhu. Prabhuji, are you there?
Yes, Mataji, I am here. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your invaluable association. We are very fortunate having you in the call. Please take over this call, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
We are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrit, Madhya Leela, Chapter 21st, Verse Number 38. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the glories of Krishna.
Ei samanya traidhishvarera shuna artha ara jaga karantina purush purush avatar.
Translation: by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charana Arvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
This is only a general description. Please try to understand another meaning of Trayadhisha. The three Purusha incarnations of Vishnu are the original cause of the material creation.
Mahavishnu Padmanabha Kshirodaka Swami Ei Tina Sthula Sukshma Sarva Antaryami.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues. Translation:
Mahavishnu, Padmanabha, and Shirodakshai Vishnu are the super souls of all subtle and gross existences.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada:
Lord Mahavishnu is known as Karanadakshai Vishnu, the super soul of everything. Garbhodakshai Vishnu, from whose lotus navel Brahma was created, is also called Hiranyagarbha and is the total super soul and the subtle super soul. Shirodakshai Vishnu is the universal form and the gross super soul.
Verse number 40.
Eitina sarvashraya jagat ishvara eho sab kala amsha krishna adhishvara.
Translation:
although Mahavishnu, Padmanabh and Shirodakshaya Vishnu are all shelters and controllers of the entire universe, they are nonetheless but plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of Krishna. Therefore, He is the original personality of Godhead.
Verse number 41.
Yasya eka nishvasita kalam athavalambhya jivanti loma vilaja Jagadandanatha Vishnur Mahansa Ihayasya Kala Vishesho Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Translation: the Brahmas and other lords of the mundane worlds appear from the pores of Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of His one exhalation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda
of whom Mahavishnu is a portion of a plenary portion. So, purport, this is a quotation from Brahma Samhita 5.48. So, let us read 5.48. Brahma Samhita. Oh, the purport is only one line. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in the purport, "The supreme majesty of the subjective nature of Vishnu is shown here." Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvise Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I am very, very grateful to be in your association. I would like to offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of all of you who are listening. Thank you so much for joining the call.
I would like to beg each of you to kindly shower your blessings upon a fallen person like myself, so that by the power of your blessings, your good wishes, and by the power of your sincere desire to hear Krishna Katha, may I, who has been given the service to speak, become empowered in such a way that we discuss Hari Katha today for the pleasure of Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Again, when we say Shri Guru, we mean our preeminent Shiksha Guru for the entire International Society for Krishna Consciousness, His Divine Grace, Abhay Charan Aravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. We mean our Diksha Gurus, we mean our Shiksha Gurus, we mean all the Guru Gan in our Sampradaya. When we say Shri Guru, we also mean all the previous Acharyas of all the Sampradayas, all the great Acharyas, all the exalted devotees who teach us by their example. And ultimately, when we say Shri Guru, we mean the Adi Guru, Shri Nityananda Ram, also known as Shri Balaram. And when we say Shri Gauranga, Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, when we say Shri Gauranga, we mean our beloved Sachinandan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a combined form of Shri Shri Radha Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So when we say Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, we include all our Guru Gana, all our Acharyas, Nityananda Prabhu, Balaramji, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and Radha Krishna. So everyone is included when we say Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. So let us speak and hear Hari Katha today for our purification and for the pleasure of Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. By pleasing them, our lives will become perfect. Our lives will become successful. Atha Pumbir Dvija Shrestha Varana Shrama Vibhagasha Svanushtistasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. The aim of life is Haritoshanam, to please Shri Hari. In this great revealed scripture, the Shastra was revealed in the pure, humble heart of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami by the mercy of Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan, by the mercy of Shri Shri Gaur Nitai, and by the mercy of all the great devotees whose blessings Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj had very sincerely sought. This great epic revealed scripture, not an ordinary literature written by an ordinary person. No. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shri Gaura Katha, is Shastra. It is revealed very, very exalted devotees like Murari Gupta, like Lochan Das Thakur, like Vrindavan Das Thakur, like our beloved Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who actually saw the Gaur Aarti happening almost 400 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had disappeared from this planet. And ultimately revealed to our Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada. Through all of them, Chaitanya Charitamrita has come to us. And today, we are reading that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is describing Krishna Tattva.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti swarjuna.
One who understands the transcendental nature of my janma and karma, my birth and my activities, does not upon leaving his body, tyaktva deham, does not take rebirth. Punar janma naiti, but comes to me, mam eti, Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, just by understanding Krishna Tattva, we can go back home, back to Godhead. What a beautiful method this is, my dear friends. Just think about it. Krishna is so broad-minded, he's giving us so many different avenues to approach him. So many different avenues. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam. Shravanam, just by hearing Krishna Katha in Parampara, if we actually understand Krishna as he is being revealed to us through the revealed scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we will go back home, back to Godhead when we give up our present material bodies. And none of us knows when this body is going to die. We do not know when our bodies will die. Tomorrow we may be diagnosed with cancer. Today we may have a road accident. Who knows?
Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahat padam punyayasho murare bhavam budhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham.
Let us take shelter of the unsinkable boat of lotus feet of Sri Murari to cross over this bhavam buddhi, this ocean of material existence. If we do that, if we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, this ocean of material existence will be reduced to vatsa padam, the water contained in the hoof print of a vatsa, of a calf. And we will be able to go back home, back to Godhead, leaving this world behind. This world in which there is danger, vipadam, at every step. Complete shelter. Ashraya means shelter. Samashrita means complete. Sama means complete. Complete shelter. Exclusive shelter. Ananya shelter. Ananya chintayanto mam ye jana parupasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. So let us hear Harikatha today with such attention, with such enthusiasm, with such eagerness, knowing that death can come at any time. Our ears may stop hearing at any time. We may lose the ability to hear at any time. We may lose our mental faculties at any time, from head injury or from a stroke or from a brain tumor or from some injury to the head or old age, dementia. There are so many ways, Parkinson's disease. The list is endless, my dear friends. We may lose our ability to speak. We may lose our limbs with which we hold the Japamala, we hold the Kartal, we hold the Bhagavatam. Our hands with which we cook bhoga for Krishna. We may lose at any time. We may lose our eyes with which we behold the beautiful form of Krishna. Eyes with which we read. Yes, one day all of us will lose our ability to see, our ability to speak, our ability to hear, our ability to move our four limbs in this present body. It is going to happen to all of us. So let us hear Harikatha today with such enthusiasm and one-pointed determination, like there is no tomorrow. This may be the last Harikatha that we may ever hear in this present body. Let us absorb ourselves, hearing about, thinking about Shri Krishna, who is Bhagwan, from whom Balramji comes. From Balramji, Chaturvyuha comes. Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Or Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. From them comes Mahavishnu, who is also called as Karanadakshaya Vishnu. From Karanadakshaya Vishnu comes Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. From Garbhadakshaya Vishnu comes Lord Brahma, who creates the material universe. And into that material universe, Lord Vishnu again enters as Shirodakshaya Vishnu, as the Paramatma. Hare Krishna. And all these forms of Godhead are coming from Krishna. Let us think about Krishna, hear about Krishna, so that we develop Krishna prema. That is the aim of life. That is the aim of our japa every morning, to develop Krishna prema. Yesterday was a very, very auspicious tithi. It was the Tirobhav Tithi, the disappearance day of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So let us discuss a love story. We will discuss a love story today. Love story. This whole world is fascinated with love stories. But actually they are not love stories. They are lust stories. Or at best, they are affection stories. Love comes from Krishna. Love comes from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Srimati Radharani. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema is eternal. So any so-called Prema, which is based on temporary material bodies, temporary religion, temporary nationality, temporary caste, temporary bodily relationships, is not love, because love is permanent. And all these relationships are temporary. They have a beginning and they have an end. So these are not love stories. These are lust stories or affection stories. But my dear friends, today we will talk about a love story. This is the only true love. Love story. This is a very sweet love story. It is a very, very sweet, sweet, sweet love story. It is the story of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How they loved each other. How they loved each other. And how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loves each and every one of us. That love story we will talk about today. You see, in the verses that we read today, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatana Goswami how great Krishna is, how sweet Krishna is. Even though Krishna is so great, he is the source of Vishnu. He is the source of all incarnations. Yet, he loves his devotees. And he has individual relationships in different rasas with each and every of his devotees. This astounds the hearts, the tender hearts of Krishna Bhaktas. When we think how great Krishna is, yet he cares to hear my prayers. Who am I? I am one insignificant aspiring devotee in this huge international society of Krishna consciousness, with thousands and thousands of devotees, hundreds and hundreds of temples, thousands and thousands of initiated devotees. On this one insignificant planet, there are so many planets in this material universe, and there are so many universes. And then there is even bigger, much bigger spiritual world with so many devotees. Still, Krishna has time to hear my prayers. When a devotee thinks like this, the devotee becomes overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with gratitude and love for Krishna. This is the sweetness of Krishna. Even though he is so great, he is bhakta paradhina, premavash. He is controlled by the prema, by the bhakti of his devotees.
अहम भक्त पराधीनो हि अस्वतंत्र इव द्विज साधुभिर् ग्रस्त हृदयो भक्तैर् भक्त जनप्रिय. That is Krishna. So when this Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inaugurated the Harinam Sankirtan movement in Navadvip Mayapur Dham. Whole of Navadvip was inundated with Krishna Nam and Krishna Katha and Krishna Prem. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not satisfied. He wanted the Nam Sankirtan movement, the Prema Sankirtan movement to spread. So he gave up his loving mother. He gave up the association of Srimati Vishnupriya Devi. He gave up the association of Srivas Thakur. He gave up the association of Advaita Acharya, Murari Gupta, Shivananda Sen, and all the great devotees of Navadvip, and he accepted sannyas just to deliver me and you, my dear friends. He accepted sannyas in Katwa. He gave up his beautiful hair. He gave up his beautiful clothes. He gave up all his jewels. And he wore simple cloth of a sannyasi with a shaved head and a tulsi mala around his kantha. And he came to Jagannath Puri and he inundated entire Jagannath Puri with Krishna Prem and Krishna Naam. But again, the loving heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was aching and paining because others outside of Navadvip and Puri were deprived of this bliss of Krishna consciousness. So to deliver them on the pretext of trying to find his elder brother Vishwarup, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accompanied by one servant Krishna Das, started on tour of Dravida Desh, South India. In our scriptures it is mentioned that South India is a very special place. Many great devotees will take birth in South India. And we actually see that. Our acharyas, so many of them have appeared in South India. So many great temples are in South India. The Vedic culture, Vaishnava culture is so nicely preserved in South India. And even today, so many sweet, wonderful devotees are from South India. Paritranaya sadhuna, to show his compassion, tesham evanu kampartham, to show his special mercy to the residents of Dravida Desh, South India, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embarked on this mission. And he came to Srirangam, where for many, many centuries the beautiful form of Lord Ranganath has been worshipped by the Sri Vaishnavas, coming in line of Sripad Ramanujacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Srirangam in the year 1510 AD. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was born
in the year 1503 AD. So in 1510 AD, Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami was only 7 years old. And Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami disappeared from this world in the year 1578 at the age of 75. So going back to the year 1510, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Srirangam, small island in the Kaveri River. He had darshan of Ranganath and he came to the house of three brothers, Venkata Bhatta, Prabodhananda Saraswati and Tirumala Bhatta. All these three brothers were Sri Vaishnavas. They were very, very exalted, sincere devotees. And they were pujaris of Sri Ranganath Ji. They were steeped in Aishwarya Seva, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ranganath, with awe, respect, and reverence. They were perfectly satisfied serving the Lord in this mood, Aishwarya Bhav, Vaikuntha Bhav. And on the scene arrives a young 24-year-old sannyasi who is very tall, 7 feet tall. He is a very beautifully built, slender physique. Very slender, beautiful body. Perfectly formed limbs. Ajanulambita bhujau kanakavadhatau sankirtanai kapitarau kamalanyakakshau vishwambharau dvijavarau yugadharmapalau vande jagat priyakarau karunavataru. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur describes the beauty of Gaur Nithai. Ajanu lambita bhujau. Their bhuja, their arms extended down below their knees. Kamalaya takshau. Their aksha, their eyes were beautiful like lotuses. He was wearing the loin cloth of a sannyasi, one small upavastra to cover his upper body, and a kanthi mala around his beautiful neck. His beautiful head was clean shaven. His lotus eyes were always decorated with tears of love. Nayanam Arunam. In Sachi Sudashtakam, Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya mentions that the eyes, Nayanam Arunam, Arunam Nayanam, his eyes are always beautiful, are decorated with tears and always chanting Krishna's name. Krishna varanam tisa krishnam sangopangastra parshadam yadnay sankirtana prayer yajantihi sumedhasa. Now let us find out if Venkat Bhatt and his family members are sumedhasa or not. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Srirangam and Venkat Bhatt looks at this beautiful young sannyasi, so beautiful, beauty personified. Nothing and no one can be more beautiful than Gaura Sundar. How is it possible? He is a combined divine form of Radharani and Krishna. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi became Gauranga. Can you imagine? Shama Sundar and Vraja Sundari. Shama Sundar and Vraja Sundari have become Gaura Sundar. Who can resist this beauty? When Venkat Bhatta saw Shri Krishna Chaitanya, the sannyasi, he saw his beautiful form, he noticed all auspicious marks on his beautiful body, and he invited him home for prasadam. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the home of Venkat Bhat, Venkat Bhat offered all respects with a pure heart to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He offered him a nice place to sit, offered him lots of love and hospitality, kind words, and then begged him, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are a sannyasi. We are grahasthas. We are attached to family and house and property, so many things. Whereas you are exclusively surrendered to pleasing Lord Narayan. How fortunate we are that an exalted sannyasi like yourself, your good self, has graced our home today. Please, please, please give me the permission to wash your lotus feet. Please. In this way, my existence will be purified, my family members will be purified, and this whole house will be purified. Please give me the permission to wash your lotus feet. Now please remember, my dear friends, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita himself explains that there are three things which have Mahabala, have great strength to purify and to grant Krishna Prem, Krishna Bhakti, Nishtha. Three things which have great bal, great power, Mahabal, to grant us Krishna Bhakti. First is the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Charana Renu, Pada Dhuli, from a Mahabhagwat Bhakta of Krishna. Number two, their Uchchista, the remnants of food left behind on the prasadam plate of a Mahabhagwat Bhakta. And the third is the water that has washed the lotus feet of a Mahabhagwat Bhakta, Charanamrut. If we can get these three things in life, if we can identify a pure devotee, a self-realized Mahabhagwat, if we can find such a devotee, and if we can get his or her remnants, if we can get the dust from his or her lotus feet, and if we can get the Charanamrut from the lotus feet of such a Mahabhagwat devotee, then our life is successful. Venkat Bhat knew this Siddhanta. Therefore, he petitioned, he begged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please give me permission to wash your lotus feet. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing the sincerity and purity of Venkat Bhat, he gave his permission. You see, we should never grab the dust from the feet or wash the feet and get Charanamrit or take the remnants without pleasing the Mahabhagavat first. We must serve and please the Mahabhagavat. And then, either with their explicit permission or implicit permission. Agar, either direct expressed permission or implied permission, we should honor these three powerful substances. So Venkat Bhatta Goswami knew the Siddhanta. He begged for permission. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also seeing that he was qualified, granted his permission. Yes, you can wash my feet. And then Venkat Bhatta Goswami, with great eagerness, he got the holy water of Kaveri. And he washed the lotus feet of this young sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he gave that Charanamrit to his family members to drink. He himself drank. And he gave it to his brother, Prabodhananda Saraswati, to Tirumala Bhatta, and to the little boy, 7-year-old boy, whose name was Gopal Bhatta. When the 7-year-old lad, Gopal, drank this Charanamrut, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a complete transformation of heart. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishthiki. All the abhadra things, inauspicious things, are nashta, destroyed. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavata sevaya not only means serving and studying Srimad Bhagavatam, it also means serving and pleasing the person Bhagavat. There are two Bhagavats, person Bhagavat and book Bhagavat, Pustak Bhagavat and Vyakti Bhagavat. If we please any of these two Bhagavats, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu will happen. When Gopal drank the Charanamrut of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhagwan playing the role of a Mahabhagavata devotee, Gopal was completely purified. In fact, just by drinking that Charanamrut, Gopal got ecstatic love of Godhead. He got Shuddha Krishna Prem right then and there at the age of 7. He was already very pure, born to devotee parents, born in the holy dham of Sri Rangam, born in the family of such great Vaishnavas. But that drinking of the Charanamrut of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that day, around this time of the year, beginning of Chaturmas, Gopal was completely transformed. And from that day on, he started worshipping, started serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Venkat Bhatta Goswami was so moved by the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he became like a madman. He did not want to give up the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He fell at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Chaturmas is starting. The Shastras advise us that we should not travel during this 4 months of rainy season. We should honor Chaturmas, stay in one place, do our bhajan. And then, at the end of Chaturmas, then we can resume our travels. This is the injunction of the scripture. If it is okay with you, if it agrees with you, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, 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 accept this house as your home for the next 4 months. Please give us the opportunity to serve you. We would love to have your association. Please grant us this prayer. Please stay with us for the 4 months of Chaturmas. Don't leave, Sri Vangam. Again, seeing the purity and sincerity of Venkat Bhatta and his family members, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consented. My dear friends, this is very, very instructive. Very instructive. So many times we pray and we say, Krishna is not answering, Krishna is not fulfilling my prayers. First of all, is our intention pure? Is our purpose pure? And is our heart pure? Vishaya chadiya kabe shuddha be mana kabe amahe rabo Shri Vrindavan. Vishaya chadiya kabe shuddha be mana. When our mind will become shuddha, when our mind will become purified, then we can enter Shri Vrindavan. Krishna will answer our prayers. Krishna will reciprocate with us based on how we approach Him. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam satha eva bhajamyaham. Mama vartamanu vartante manushya partha sarvasha. Because the intent was pure, because the intent was pleasing to Krishna, and because his heart was also as pure as his intention, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consented. He said, okay, all right, I will stay with you for 4 months. Can you imagine the bliss of Venkat Bhatta and his family members? Can you imagine? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has agreed to stay with you for 4 months. Every day he is going to take rest in your house. 3 times a day you can cook for him and feed him. Every single day, morning, afternoon and evening, he is going to talk Krishna Katha with you. Every day with you, he is going to go to Sri Rangam temple, Ranganath temple, and take darshan of Ranganath ji with you. Every day on the streets of Sri Rangam, he is going to do Nagar Sankirtan with you. And at the end of the day, he is going to come back to your house and accept service from you. Can you imagine the bliss of Venkat Bhatta for those 4 months of Chaturmas? What an incredible Chaturmas that must have been for the whole of Sri Rangam, but specifically for the family of Venkat Bhatta. Oh, how he got attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how Gopal, the 7-year-old boy, got attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopal literally took over the seva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for those 4 months. He would do menial service for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like serving him prasadam, cleaning the place where he took a rest, giving him whatever he needed, offering prayers to him, offering sweet words to him. Because you see, children are very innocent. At that age, lot of anarthas like lust, ego, even pride generally does not manifest fully in the heart. It waits for the body to attain the age of adolescence. So kids are perfectly suited to perform devotional service. We should also encourage, as far as it is in our power, we should encourage children in our sanghas, wherever we are, whether it is our temple, it's our counseling group or Bhakti Vriksha group, we should encourage children to perform devotional service, like asking them to offer bhoga to Krishna, asking them to do kirtan, play musical instruments, engage their limbs, their minds in the service of Krishna. It's very crucial. And Venkat Bhatt facilitated Gopal being engaged in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they lived for 4 months in such pure bliss. Each and every passing moment of those 4 months, their attachment for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was increasing and increasing and increasing. And from the servant who was accompanying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Das, they got to learn more about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They got to hear about how, in fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Gaudiya Vaishnava. He's from Gaudadesh, from Bengal. He's the darling child of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. How he is the darling of whole of Mayapur. Mayapur Chandra Gaura Hari. How he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. How he used to wear beautiful Pitambar Vastra. How he used to wear beautiful jewels donated by his students who learned grammar from him. How he had beautiful long hair. How he used to beautifully dance with his parshads, with his associates on the streets of Navadvip, on the banks of Mother Ganga, chanting, doing sankirtan. When Venkat Bhatt and his family members heard all these pastimes of Adi Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were so charmed, their hearts were so attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, Gopal had a spiritual vision. Different scriptures mention this differently. Some say that it was a dream, but actually it was more of a spiritual vision, where just before this happened, Gopal was feeling great remorse in his heart that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has become a sannyasi. He is performing the austerities, the tapasya of a sannyasi. Such an austere life. And look at my misfortune. I am having to bear the pain of watching these austerities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to top it all, it is Chaturmasya, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has increased his austerities even more. He's hardly eating any prasad. He sleeps on the hard floor. So many austerities he's doing, and I have to see these austerities, little Gopal was thinking. Oh, how I wish
I could see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Mayapur Chandra Gaura Hari. Dancing with Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Srivas Pandit, Shivananda Sen, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Vakreshwar Pandit, Murari Gupta Adi, Kolavecha Sridhar. Let us take these names. Just taking these names is purifying to the heart. Kolavecha Sridhar, Gauridas Pandit, all these exalted devotees, dancing with them in Srivas Angan, doing Harinam Sankirtan with his beautiful curly long black hair, his beautiful clothes, his beautiful jewels, dancing and singing. Oh, how I wish I could see Mahaprabhu in that form. But alas, I have to see him in the form of a sannyasi. I have to see him execute all these severe austerities of Chaturmasya. Oh, how I wish I could see him in his Adi Leela as Navadvip Chandra, Mayapur Chandra, as Sachinandan Gaur Hari, as the 7-year-old boy Gopal was thinking like this and crying with innocent love. He had a spiritual vision. All of a sudden, little Gopal saw this Yati Raj, this Yati Chudamani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the crest jewel of all sannyasis, transform into the most beautiful form of Navadvip Bihari, Shri Sachinandan Gaurasundar. And this beautiful Sachi Suta was accompanied by Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya and all the other devotees of Navadvip. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing blissfully, his long, beautiful hair flowing as he danced, decorated with beautiful yellow garments and beautiful jewels. And Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya looked at little Gopal in that spiritual vision. And they walked up to the little Gopal who was standing there, gazing at the beautiful form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates. And Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, in each ear of Gopal, they cupped their hands and placed their lotus mouths near each of his ears. And they were about to whisper something very confidential in the ears of a little Gopal. And just then, the spiritual vision or the dream broke. And Gopal woke up and he realized that, oh, this was a dream. Oh, how I wish I could see Navadvip Chandra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again, with all his associates, thinking like this, with spontaneous tears of love and separation from that form of Navadvip Chandra. Little Gopal ran to the room where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying. And he fell at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, weeping and crying. Weeping and crying out of love and gratitude that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed him this spiritual vision. And when little Gopal
finally regained his composure and slowly got up and stood up. Right in front of his eyes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed himself into Navadvip Chandra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The drab dress of a sannyasi was gone. His kamandalu was gone. It was replaced with beautiful, effulgent garments and beautiful long flowing hair. Gopal Bhatta could not get enough of this divine sight. And he kept staring at the beautiful form of Navadvip Chandra, just like a chatak bird beholds the full moon. And then right before his eyes, right before the eyes of Gopal, Mayapur Chandra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's form, transformed into Vrajendra Nandana, Shri Krishna Chandra, Shyam Sundar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed into Krishna. And then he changed back to the form of Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Sannyasi. Gopal again fell down flat like a danda at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started crying. He could not understand what's going on. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him, "My dear Gopal, it is my leela to accept sannyas for the purification of this world. I am doing this. Please do not cry because you want to see me with my beautiful hair. Please do not cry, my dear Gopal, because you want to see me wearing opulent clothes of a grahastha. Please do not cry, my dear Gopal, because you want to see me eat opulently the prasad cooked by Sachi Mata, Malini Devi and Sita Thakurani. Please don't cry." I have taken sannyas to deliver this world. And my dear Gopal, you also will have to take sannyas on my order. Please listen to my instructions. Stay here in Sri Rangam with your parents. They are pure devotees. Accept your uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati, as your spiritual master. Learn Srimad Bhagavatam from him. And when your parents have returned to the spiritual world by giving up these temporary bodies, then you should come to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And there you will meet two of my very dear devotees, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. You should live with them under their guidance, like their younger brother. And through you, and through Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, I want to accomplish four purposes. I want you to write books describing Krishna Tattva, as you have heard from me for the last 4 months when I described Krishna Leela to you, your father, and your uncles. You have heard me. Based on what you have heard about Krishna, write books on Krishna Bhakti. That's number one. Number two, I want you to establish temples in Vrindavan and set the proper standards of Archa Vigraha Seva. Shri Vigraha is not a statue. Vigraha. Vi means Vishesha. Graha means to grahan, to accept. Vishesha Rupena Grahan. Vigraha. When Krishna accepts the form carved out of metal, wood or stone based on the descriptions given in the Shastra, when Krishna accepts such a form to receive service from his beloved devotees, that murti becomes Shri Vigraha. I want you to establish temples of Shri Vigraha. Shri Vigraha Aradhana Nityanana Shringara Tanman Diramarjanado Yuktasya Bhaktam Chaniyunjatopi Vande Guru Shri Charanaravindam. Shri Vigraha Aradhana Nitya Nana Shringar. Daily worship of Shri Vigraha and different types of decorations, Shringar. Mandira Marjana, and to clean the temple. Establish temples. Establish the proper standards of deity worship. That's number two. Number three, I want you to excavate the lost Leela Sthalas of Vrindavan. There are so many pastime places in Vrindavan which are lost. After your parents depart from this world, I want you to go to Vrindavan, and under the guidance of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, I want you to reclaim and discover the lost places of Krishna Leela. That was number three. And number four, by your behavior, by your dealings, by your interactions with other devotees there in Vrindavan, I want you to set the standards of Vaishnava etiquettes. Through you, I want to teach the world Vaishnava etiquettes. These four things. Write books on the science of Krishna consciousness. Establish temples and set the standards of deity worship. Discover the lost places of Krishna Leela in Vrindavan and set the standards for sannyasis and goswamis and set the standards of Vaishnava etiquette and Vaishnava behavior. These were the instructions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Gopal. And before leaving, he completely transformed the hearts of Venkat Bhatta Goswami and his brothers. He converted them from Aishwarya Bhav Seva to Madhurya Bhav Seva. Prema Bhakti. Love becomes so predominant in Seva that it no longer matters whether Krishna is God or not. Doesn't matter. Krishna's Godhood gets completely masked by intense love. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. There is a beautiful dialogue that happens between Venkat Bhat and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the position of Krishna, which I was thinking we will skip because of we don't have time. Then there are beautiful pastimes of Gopal Bhatta Goswami in Vrindavan, how he assisted Sanatan Goswami in writing Hari Bhakti Vilas, how he went to the Gandaki River in the Himalayas and got 12 Shaligram Shilas, how his Pradhan Shila, a Damodar Shila, manifested into Radharaman Jiv, how he established the temple, how he got pujaris to continue the Nitya Seva of Shri Shri Radharaman Ji. Beautiful stories, very, very interesting stories, but we don't have time. It is already 12:15. But still, I want to describe, in brief, I will not go into details, in brief, the dialogue between Venkat Bhatt and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because it is very relevant to the four verses that we read today. During this Chaturmasya, one day, Venkat Bhatt Goswami was, as usual, serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with his family members. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing his Aishwarya Bhav of Seva, asked him that Srimati Lakshmi Devi is certainly very exalted. Her spiritual position is very, very exalted and special. Yet, she desired to participate in Krishna's Rasa Leela. Why is that? O Venkat Bhatta, please tell me. You are learned in scriptures. You are a qualified Brahman. Brahma Janati Iti Brahman. Brahman is one who knows the Tattva, Siddhanta. So tell me. You worship Shri Shri Lakshmi Ranganath. Tell me why Lakshmi Devi wanted to participate in Krishna's Rasa Leela. Venkat Bhatta Goswami replied, there is no difference between Krishna and Lord Narayan. Krishna is Narayan in a different form. Therefore, if Srimati Lakshmi Devi wants to associate with Lord Narayan in the form of Shri Krishna, there is nothing wrong. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he continued. He said, that is all right. But Lakshmi Devi actually wanted to give up the association of Shri Narayan. She actually wanted to give up her residence in Vaikuntha and she wanted to come to Krishna Vrindavan and participate in the Rasa Leela. So she wants to leave Narayan and participate in the Rasa Leela. Why is that so? Now, this was a little hard for Venkat Bhatta to digest these kind of words. So Venkat Bhatta, with folded hands, submitted before the most beautiful sannyasi, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that, my dear Lord, I am again telling you, there is no difference between Narayan and Krishna. Krishna is just another form of Narayan. So if Lakshmi wants to associate with Krishna, there is no breach of chastity. It does not in any way make Srimati Lakshmi Devi unchaste. Because he is the same person. Narayan and Krishna are one and the same. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coaxed on. He said, no, 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 but the point is, she wants to give up the association of Narayan and gain the association of Krishna. This is because Vrindavan is the abode of all the rasas. And Rasa Leela is the pinnacle, it's the zenith of the manifestations of Madhurya Leela, Madhurya Ras. Therefore, Vrindavan is the highest residence of Godhead, higher than Vaikuntha. And Krishna is the complete original manifestation of Godhead. And his rasa of reciprocating with his devotees is superior to that of Narayan. When Venkat Bhatta heard this, naturally being attached to the worship of Sri Sri Lakshmi Narayan, it was a hard pill for him to swallow. But this is what Venkat Bhatta said, and this is very instructive for all of us. Venkat Bhatta said, my dear Lord, I am a conditioned soul. My mind gets easily agitated. I do not understand Tattva Siddhanta. I do not understand the conclusions of the scriptures. It is my realization, based on the study of scriptures and based on the auspicious markings on your limbs, that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Krishna. You are Narayan. Therefore, whatever you say, I accept. Hare Krishna. This is what our dear Venkat Bhatta told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever you say, I accept. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated them into the Krishna mantra. They were chanting the Narayan mantra, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them initiation into Krishna mantra. Worshipping Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. From Aishwarya Bhakti, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them Vraja Bhakti. This is the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the purpose of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. This is the purpose of our Sampradaya, to give Vraja Bhakti. Because Vraja Bhakti is the highest manifestation of Bhakti in all of spiritual world. There are different methods of Bhakti. Each of them are exalted. The practitioners of each method are perfectly satisfied. Yet, from the Rasika point of view, from Tattva point of view, they are all liberated devotees. But from the Rasa standpoint, from the Rasa perspective, we must understand that the highest manifestation of Bhakti is Vraja Bhakti. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vraje Shatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Premaha Pumarato Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatradara Napara. There is nothing superior, Tataradara Napara, to the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the highest object of our worship is Vrajendra Nandan Krishna. The highest abode of worship is Sri Vrindavan Dham. And the topmost devotees of Krishna are Vrajavadhu, the gopis of Vrindavan. And the highest scripture which gives us this conclusion, this Siddhanta, is Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto describes very gloriously in many, many chapters Vraja Bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, all our Acharyas, they have all come to give us Vraja Bhakti. So we are very fortunate to be discussing the glories of Sri Vrindavan Dham in this auspicious time of Chaturmas and the day after the Tirobhav Tithi of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. I am very grateful for being given this service. Thank you all very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrit Ki Jai. Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami Pad Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhupada. Very, very nice class, actually. I was thinking, yesterday I was trying to listen to some lecture about the way you can elaborate so nicely. Really thankful to you, and always when you glorify the Vaishnava, especially our previous acharya, you explain so nicely and so detailed. Thank you so much, Prabhupada.
Thank you. Anjana Gopika Mataji, is that you? Thank you.
Yes, yes. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. All glories, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you again for one of the sweetest classes. You always give very, very sweet classes, and also realizations as you go. When you were speaking about the one thought that crossed my mind was when you were speaking about how that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is concerned about our spiritual life, that about the millions and millions of universes and millions and millions of devotees, that he's personally concerned with each one of us individually. And it actually reminded me of two things. One was that yesterday I was listening to some of the Prabhupada memories tapes, and I remember Shodhananda Maharaj was speaking about when he had met Srila Prabhupada, and he had mistakenly thought his name was Haridayananda Das or something like that. And so for a couple of months he was mistaken. And then later on, when he wrote Prabhupada the letter, Prabhupada wrote back, and he had signed it Haridayananda Das, and Prabhupada had wrote back, very nice, here, you know what, et cetera, Srodayananda, by the way, your name is Srodayananda. And he was thinking at that time that of all the devotees, and at that time he was just still a das, it wasn't a sannyasi or a swami or anything like that. So he was thinking, Sri Prabhupada has so many disciples. How does he remember about me? Like, how does he know who I am amongst all those people? And then also my Guru Maharaj also, whenever everybody he sees, I see this all the time when he's meeting people, it's so personal, like he knows everything about you, he remembers you, and he's so concerned about your spiritual life. Every single solitary person, he makes them feel special, and you are the only one. So it just reminded me of that, and how that mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being shown and being displayed and is apparent in our own gurus. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Phaneshwari Lakshmi Mataji. Do I have the permission of all of you to just say something in 2 minutes? something about His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj. Because when Panishwari said this, I was reminded of a very, 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 very sweet pastime of Srila Jayapataka Maharaj, which is very, very related, very much related to what we discussed today. So today we discussed that when Gopal Bhatta Goswami saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of a sannyasi, when he saw his austerities, his heart was broken and he longed to see him in his form as Navadvip Chandra. So what happened was, a few decades ago, Srila Jayapataka Maharaj had come to Atlanta. He has been coming here every year for the Dahichida festival, Panihati festival. And he was here, and one Srila Prabhupada's disciple asked Srila Jayapataka Maharaj a question. He asked Srila Jayapataka Maharaj that we read the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrit, and you know, most of the pastimes, you know, Madhya Leela and Antya Leela are all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of a sannyasi. So when we read these pastimes, when we meditate upon Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we think about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, we think about him as a sannyasi. So is it okay that just a few days in a year, you know, once in a while, if we dress up Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the altar in the form of a sannyasi? So in Atlanta, the pradhan deities, the main deities are Gaur Nithai. It's a very unique temple because Gaur Nithai are in the center, and on their left side are Radha Madan Mohan, and on their right side are Jagannath Balde Subhadra. So Gaur Nithai are in the center because it is Panihati Dham. Prabhupada called Atlanta, Georgia's new Panihati Dham. So that mood of Mayapur, Navadvip Dham, is very prevalent. And therefore Jayapataka Maharaj comes, because he is himself steeped in Gaur Leela. So this question was asked by a Prabhupada disciple to Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. Someday, maybe a few days in a year, is it okay for us to dress Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi? Because we read about him as sannyasi in the scriptures so much. Just like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Srila Jayapataka Maharaj had tears in his eyes when this question was asked to him. He could not believe what he was hearing. Just thinking of his beloved Gauranga Mahaprabhu being dressed without his beautiful long hair, all his beautiful, opulent, embroidered, bedecked with jewels, clothes, being taken away from him and making him wear just the loincloth of a sannyasi broke the heart of Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. And with tears in his eyes, his voice was completely choked up. He could only utter, "Oh no, how can we even think of doing that? How can we even think of doing that? Please decorate him very opulently. Please decorate him very opulently. This is the heart of a pure devotee." So this is so much similar to what happened to Gopal Bhatta Goswami in Chaturmas when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I just thought I'll share all this with you, this with all of you. His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj ki jai.
Jai.
Thank you.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for class. This is Gaurangi. I had a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm referring to the part of your talk when you were saying the importance of getting the permission of sannyasis before we take their remnants. And so it reminded me of a verse in the Bhagavatam that where the translation and Krishna and Srila Prabhupada's purport seemed to be contradictory to me, and so I was wondering if you could help me to reconcile. And so this is in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 5, Narada Muni is giving instructions. He's talking about...
What is the verse number, chapter and the verse? I'll pull it up while you're asking your question.
Okay, it's the first canto, is chapter 5, the verse is 25. And so in the translation of that verse, Narada is saying that by the permission of the Bhaktivedantas, he took their remnants of food, and by so doing, all of his sins were at once eradicated. But then in the purport, just a few lines into the purport, Prabhupada says that, I'm quoting, such remnants may be taken even without permission of the pure devotees. So I'm trying to reconcile that between what you said and what is said in the translation of the verse. In the translation, it seems like, and by your instruction too, it seems like we need to take permission. But Prabhupada and his purport seems to indicate that we don't need to. So I don't understand.
Hare Krishna. So that is an excellent question, Mataji. So there are three things which are very powerful. One is the dust from the lotus feet. Second is the Charanamrit. And third is the remnants of prasad, Mahaprasad. So the dust from the lotus feet and Charanamrit should be taken with permission, explicit permission. And as far as the foodstuffs are concerned, it can be taken with implicit permission. So if a pure devotee comes and he honors prasadam, and he or she leaves behind remnants on the plate, then it is implied permission. We don't need permission. But sometimes what happens is devotees during kirtan, during dancing, they forcefully take dust from the lotus feet of certain exalted devotees.
How do they do that? By going and physically just trying to grab the person's feet? How do they do it forcefully?
Yes, actually there is one Prabhupada disciple who got a hip fracture because somebody forcefully tried to grab dust from his feet and he fell on the marble floor and had to be carried out on a stretcher.
Wow.
So we need permission. It's very sad. We need permission, you know, so if somebody's sitting down and we talk to them and we really feel attracted to them, we know that this person is a pure devotee, then with their kind permission, we may take dust from their lotus feet or we may wash their feet and then drink that Charanamrit with permission. But as far as remnants from the plate of Mahaprasad is concerned, that is implied permission.
Okay.
Because the fact that the devotee is leaving it behind, it's implied that we may honor it. Otherwise, the devotee will just fold his plate and just throw it in the garbage or finish everything, lick everything and, you know, wash his own plate. But if a devotee is handing over the leftovers on the plate, then it is implied permission that we may honor it. So for dust,
we have to be very careful. I remember once in the year 1998 when I was in medical school, Grand Medical College, Pankaj Angre Prabhu had come to our boys' hostel for one evening.
Which Maharaj?
Pankaj Angre Prabhu from Mayapur. Jananivas Prabhu's brother. You know Pankaj Angre Prabhu? Yeah, Pankaj Angre Prabhu had come. And, you know, we were all new devotees, brand new devotees. We didn't know the etiquette. And we were just told by our senior devotees that he is a pure devotee. So when he came, during the kirtan, we just attacked his lotus feet. We just attacked his, you know, feet, and we were all taking dust. And, you know, he was so merciful, he was just smiling. But... but later on, we realized that is not the etiquette. So, in one class, I heard Radhanath Maharaj specifically mentioned in one class that we should be very careful when we take dust from somebody's feet. It should be done with permission. It should not be done violently or forcefully. And you know, he also said that once in New Vrindavan, a devotee fell down and got a fracture because devotees were just, you know, pulling at his feet, and so we are not doing them any service. We are not pleasing them by hurting them like that. In fact, it is explained that the taking dust from the feet is important, but the meaning of taking dust from the feet of a pure devotee means to follow their instructions. For example, if a pure devotee comes and I take dust from his or her feet, but I disobey their instructions, then what is the use of taking dust? So taking dust means to submit ourselves before them, to humble ourselves before them, and to follow their instructions. That is the inner meaning of taking dust from somebody's feet. We submit to you, we will follow your instructions. So to answer your question, Mataji, to take dust, we need permission. But as far as Mahaprasad is concerned, if it is left by a pure devotee on the plate, then it is implied permission.
Okay, so, yeah, I understand you. It's just that, you know, in the translation, it just seems to be so kind of explicit that it is only, I mean, not only, but scratch that only. It just seems so explicit that he says, by their permission, I took the remnants of their food. I mean, it doesn't say implicit permission, but I guess you're saying that that's implied in that statement somehow. You know what I mean? It says, by their permission, I took the remnants of their food.
Yeah, so it says that anumodita means the permission, and sakrit means once. So once, with their permission, I took. So Prabhupada writes that only once with their permission I took.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So it means that even though he took it only once, not many times, only once, but it was so powerful that he got infected with their devotion. So like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. The point here is that it, only by one time taking, he got his sins eradicated, not that whether it was by permission or not permission. Yeah.
Correct.
Very
so
nice.
Only one with permission he took, but Prabhupada qualifies that although in this particular instance, Srila Narad Muni took it with permission, we may take it without permission also.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this particular narration, it happens with permission, but Prabhupada is qualifying that we can do it without permission also.
Okay, and then also when you, you know, were saying that, you know, the dust is, the significance of the pure devotee's dust is their instructions. That's how I've always understood it too, but the physical dust is also very important. And so when we, taking the physical dust, let's say as the pure devotees walk, right, they kick up dust and it lands on their feet. And so we are to try to get permission to accumulate this dust. And with that dust, the proper way to take that dust is what, to simply wipe it on our forehead or what?
No, Mother, that is different. That is okay. That we can do. If a devotee walks, you know, we can touch that part of the ground and put that dust on our head. But that is not the meaning of taking dust from the lotus feet. Taking dust from the lotus feet means you offer your obeisances to the devotee, Mahabhagwat, and you touch his or her lotus feet. And when you touch, the dust particles come on your hand and you put them on your head. So that has to happen with permission. And the scriptures also mention that when you do that, when you touch the lotus feet of a devotee and put the dust from their feet on the head, all your sins go to that Mahabhagwat. All your sins. Because as long as we are sinful, how can real devotion arouse in the heart? Yesham antagata papam. Bhagavata Krishna says that all the sins have to be destroyed before we can have the full manifestation of bhakti in our heart. So it is mentioned in the scriptures that when we touch the lotus feet of a devotee and we take the dust from their lotus feet and place it on our heads, all our sins go to that Mahabhagwat. And that Mahabhagwat's spiritual potency comes to us. Therefore, it has to be done with explicit permission. Generally, only a spiritual master may allow that fortune. Therefore, Prabhupada had ordered Tamal Krishna Goswami not to allow anybody to touch his feet. Because that's what people do, they take undue advantage. When public...
Wait, you said Prabhupada gave that instruction to whom?
To His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, that he has to guard him. When he's walking, Tamal Krishna Maharaj has to guard Prabhupada. Nobody should be able to come and take dust from his feet. Nobody should be able to come and touch his feet. So taking dust, Mataji, actually means physically touching the lotus feet of the Mahabhagwat and then putting the dust physically on one's head. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is praman, there is evidence for this. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu denied Shuddha Bhakti to Sachi Mata because she had mentally offended Advaita Acharya, the only remedy was that she should take dust from his feet on her head. So she physically, when Advaita Acharya faints in ecstasy, she physically touches his feet and puts the dust on her head. Not some place where Advaita Acharya had danced or stepped. No, not like that. Actually physical. Therefore, to touch, we must need permission.
But if okay, so it's interesting because, you know, when I see senior devotees inch away from those devotees who are trying to touch their, you know, pair of bases and touch their feet, I thought they were simply doing so out of humility, you know. But hearing you makes me feel like maybe they're just trying to avoid, you know, absorbing their karma.
Yes, so you know, if we want to offer out of humility, we should offer Dandavat from a distance. We don't have to physically touch the Mahabhagwat. Just from a distance, we can offer our pranams, Dandavat pranam. But touching physically is a very intimate act. It should not be done, you know, like that. It is only with the permission. When the pure devotee extends his feet and, you know, allows you that fortune, we can do it. Personally, I have never had that fortune in my life so far.
So when we see, you know, senior devotees back away from other devotees who are trying to touch their feet as they pay obeisances, are they trying to back away to protect themselves, or are they trying to back away out of humility?
I would not dare to judge the motives of a pure.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Backing away. But mm-hmm. I have personally seen one video of, I personally know this instruction that Prabhupada had given. It's in Leelamrita. He had told Tamal Krishna Maharaj not to let anybody touch his feet. So that is obviously, you know, because people take undue advantage. And then I have seen one video of Srila Jayapataka Maharaj also, that, you know, he was telling one BBC interviewer who had come from England to interview him. He was telling him, you know, how much karma can you absorb?
these people, and they just come and keep touching the feet. So there is only so much you can absorb. So, you know, he was discouraging that practice. So definitely that can happen. And interestingly, you know, recently I was told also that sometimes we don't know how to identify a pure devotee. And sometimes we accept a neophyte devotee who is engaged in sadhana bhakti to be a pure devotee, and we touch his or her feet, considering them to be very senior and considering them to be our shiksha guru or whatever. And what happens, because we give our karma to them, very soon that devotee whose feet we have touched falls down. So this has also happened, you know. Sometimes we may become prematurely take the position of a shiksha guru or even diksha guru. And then when disciples touch the feet, we get their karma, but we don't have the purity to absorb so much karma. And then such gurus have sometimes fallen down, or such devotees have sometimes fallen down. So...
But why would the guru, I mean not the guru, the devotee who touched the feet, right, of the guru, why would they fall down?
No, the one who touches the feet doesn't fall down. The one whose feet were touched, the one who absorbed the karma falls down.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. You don't have enough power.
I would therefore imagine that, I mean, it sounds like a very, I don't know how a person, how would you get the, I don't know how to say the, you know, to ask somebody to accept your karma is like such a heavy request, you know? So it's like even if the person is your guru, I mean, it's like you don't want your guru to be harmed in any way or inconvenienced in any way by your karma. So even when we're talking about your own guru, how do we get the, you know, the desire to ask him to take such a thing?
Mataji, see, there is a story of Srila Prabhupada. You must have read that story. Even when Prabhupada was alive on this planet, he gave permission to his disciples to have his murtis installed in the temples. And there was one Shilpakar from the Sri Sampradaya from South India. Shilpakar are people who carve these murtis. When he came to know that Prabhupada's murtis are being established everywhere and all over the world in ISKCON temples, and he's still alive on this planet, he became very concerned, because he thought people will come and touch the feet of the murti, which is Prabhupada's manifestation, and Prabhupada will absorb all the karma of thousands of people with no restriction. So many people will come and touch, you know. So he went to Prabhupada. He took a ticket. He was a poor person, you know, a poor Vaishnav from South India. He came to know that Prabhupada was in a certain place, Hyderabad or somewhere. So he took a train ticket with his own expense of Bombay somewhere. He went to Prabhupada.
Yeah.
And he told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, this is not good. According to Shastra, if Acharya's murti is established, that murti is non-different from him or her. So when you touch the feet of that murti, you give your karma to that murti. And like that. So you will be getting karma of unlimited people all over the world without any restriction. Nobody can control who's going to touch the feet of your murti. So please don't do this. It is only established. Murti is established only when the spiritual master has departed. The Acharya has departed from the planet. So he has already gone back to the spiritual world. Then you can establish murtis and people can come and touch. So Prabhupada looked at him very gravely. And he told him, have you not understood why I have come to this world?
Yeah.
So if there is an Acharya like that, like Prabhupada, who is a pure devotee, who is self-realized, who knows his eternal seva in Golok Vrindavan, who is engaged in that, you know, bhakti, the raga bhakti, who is a pure devotee, Mahabhagavat, what is the question of his falling down? He is Krishna's Parshad. He is Hari Parshad. So such a devotee may give. Like, there is one person who came to Srila Prabhupada and did not know. He just offered obeisances and touched Prabhupada's feet and put the dust from his lotus feet on his head. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj immediately told him, stop, don't do that. Nobody touches Prabhupada's feet. And Prabhupada looked at Tamal Krishna Maharaj and said, but he can touch. So he gave that fortunate devotee special mercy, special case, special fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Rupa and Sanatan Goswami came and surrendered to him at Ramakeli, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his own, he placed his lotus feet on the heads of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. They were Dabir Khas and Sakar Mallik at that time.
Mm-hmm.
When Shivananda Sen's son, third son, came and was brought before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put his toe in that baby's mouth and the baby started sucking. So it's sucking the toe of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's directly sucking that toe. And he later on became Kavi Karanapur, the author of Gaur Ganadesha Dipika. So that is a power. So yeah, sometimes we get this fortune. Like Prabhupada.
But who was that? Who did that person? Who was that baby?
Kavi Karanapur. He became Kavi Karanapur, the third son of Shivananda Sen.
Oh.
Kavi Karanapur. Okay. Kavi Karanapur wrote that famous book, Gaur Ganadesha Dipika. Kavi Karanapur. So Gaur Ganadesha Dipika mentions the identity of different associates of Chaitanya in Krishna Leela.
Yes.
In Krishna Leela, huh?
Uh-huh.
Like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who we discussed today, he is Ananga Manjari. He's Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Radharani in Golok Vrindavan. So he's a Manjari. And some people.
Gopala Bhatta Goswami?
Yes.
Is Ananga. Oh, I thought she was only. I thought she was Balaram. Huh?
Yes. Ananga Manjari, some Acharya says Guna Manjari, but by Krishna's mercy, by his Vyoma Shakti, he can allow a Jivatma to manifest in multiple forms. Krishna can give that Shakti, his Vyoma Shakti, his Leela Shakti can allow that. So therefore we see that Ramananda Raya was the incarnation of Arjun, the Pandav Arjun. He was also incarnation of the Gopa Arjun, one of the eight Gopas, Krishna's friends. He was that Arjun also. And Ramananda Raya was also Vishakha Sakhi. So three personalities, Vishakha Sakhi, Arjun Pandav Arjun, and Arjun Gopi. They all became Ramananda Raya. So Krishna can give that Shakti to the Jivatma. Yeah, it's very inconceivable. So he was, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was incarnation of Ananga Manjari, and some authorities say Guna Manjari also. So this book was written, Gaur Ganadesha Dipika was written by Kavi Karanapur, the third son of Shivananda Sen. Another beautiful book that he wrote was Anand Vrindavan Champu. Anand Vrindavan Champu. So he became great devotee just by sucking the toe, the dust from the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes this fortune is available. Guru may be so pleased that he may place his lotus feet on our head or he may allow us to touch his or her lotus feet. So,
I would think though that... Generally, we should not, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think that generally, we should not really want to ask Guru to accept our karma.
Absolutely not. We should not. We should offer a dandavat from a distance, and we should follow the instructions of the Guru. And on Vyas Puja, Guru Maharaj allows us to wash his lotus feet, then we can try to get that Charanamrut. And of course, the remnant from his plate are generally available, not that difficult. If you have the right contacts in ISKCON, not that difficult to get.
Mm-hmm.
That should be our attitude. Yeah, touching the feet, we should not consider ourselves qualified to touch anybody's feet. We should offer dandavat from a distance.
And if somebody, any of those of us who are consider themselves ordinary conditioned souls, right? If somebody, let's say somebody junior to us or something, right? Like a younger person wants to pay obeisances and touch our feet, do we absorb their karma when that happens?
We should.
Out of respect, a lot of times out of respect, younger people
We should educate them to offer obeisances from a little distance, not to physically touch, and we have to teach them like that. We can bless them, Krishna Ramati Astu, but we should not allow anybody to touch our feet. We should not feel
because, But do we absorb, if they happen to touch our feet and then, you know, touch their head, do we absorb their karma when that happens?
I don't know, Mataji. That is up to Krishna. But that is up to Krishna. But yeah, the Siddhanta is that when we take a position of a guru and we allow anybody to, what, even Shiksha Guru, when we allow somebody to touch our feet, then Shastra mentioned that we absorb their sin and they get our spiritual potency to some extent.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So it's an exchange. Yeah, it's an exchange. So we should not allow anybody and we should not touch anybody.
Yeah.
Unless
okay.
we are ordained by Krishna to do so.
Okay.
Like Prabhupada.
All right, thank you. Oh, and by the way, that story that you told about, you know, the person, how do you say the person who caused the murtis?
Sthapati. Sthapati.
Sthapati. Yeah, that story you told, you know, he was trying to protect Krishna, you know, from people touching the feet of his murti. That was actually posted on our group.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Mataji.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mataji, yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for all of your wonderful answers, as usual. Very enlightening.
Thank you, Gaurangi Mataji. Dasosmi. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Gaurangi Mataji. Thank you very much, all the devotees. I think we should end here.
Yes, Prabhu, we can end the call now. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. We can say our obeisances to His Grace Adhikara Prabhu and all the devotees who join. Vansa Kalpataru Vesa Kripa
Sindhu Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo
Vishnava Vindaki Jai.
Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. All glory to Guru.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you.